We are now tuning in to the Awkward Thinking Podcast.
Welcome back to the Awkward Thinking Podcast. I'm your boy Nas, aka Sticks.
What up, I'm Vip.
And we are the friends you never knew you needed. All that in a bag of chips, a safe space for weird thoughts. Awkward Thinkers. You know what the deal is. Make sure you like, comment, and subscribe. We're always going to have the same like go every single time. And, you know, hop in those descriptions below with the community conversations. You know, talk to us a little bit. Vince, what else do they need to do?
Make sure if you like the video, leave a comment on why you like the video. Let us know. Give us some reviews. Make sure you're sharing everything that we're posting. Share it with your family. Share it on all your social media. Share it to your coworkers, whoever. Get us out there. And yeah, make sure y'all leave a review if you like, whatever.
Yeah, all that hot shit. All right. What else? All right, man. You know what time it is. It's time to give thanks to what we need to give thanks to. What you giving thanks to, man?
You can go first.
I've been thinking what I'm giving thanks to is basically not, well, not basically. I always say like basically and stuff like that. I want to say the journey. It's been a rough one so far. I think that it's a part of it. And I think I'm just very appreciative for the people who, you know, tap in with us that listen in every week. And I know that we have been very inconsistent. But, you know, life is life. We're adjusting. You know what I mean? Things are happening outside of the pod. And I know that, you know, shit just be shitting. Life be lifing sometimes. So, yeah. So, I'm just giving thanks to the journey and, you know, all the people that support us, all the Akis out there. Shout out to y'all.
You know how sometimes you having a rough day and it just be one little good thing that happens that make you be like, all right, this day not that bad. It's not. It just helps you turn your day around. Another day I was at work and it was a shitty day at work and I was just like in a shitty mood. And I worked with kids. One of the kids, he just came up to me. He was like, Mr. Vince, can I get a hug? I'm like, sure. And I gave him a hug and he just held on tight and he was like, Mr. Vince, what did he say? He said, you would be a great father. You would make a great father. And I, you know, I don't want kids or nothing right now, but that was really sweet. So I'm thankful for the moments that, you know, I don't know, we get a little joy or we get a little positive energy from something when we are down or in a negative mood or whatever. That was really nice.
Was he white?
He was.
So you think he wanted you to adopt him?
No, I don't think that's what he meant. I just think that he meant I would be a good father based off of our interactions.
Based off how you hug?
No, not how I hug. It wasn't just the hug. Nigga, people ain't just saying, oh, you're a good dad because you give good hugs.
I mean, people probably have said that, though.
I've never heard nobody say no shit like that. Oh, that's a good hug. You make a great dad.
Hey, you never know. People be kinky out in these streets, bro. Let's go into this rabbit hole of a show. Me and Vince and the guys, I took all my little bros to go see Transformers a couple days ago. So, you know, as big bro that I am, I had to go make sure all my little bros was good. And I realized that Optimus Prime might be the worst leader there is.
Where is this coming from?
What?
Why is Optimus Prime the worst leader?
Number one, he always get his ass beat. That's number one. He's one of those people that, like, it's like, come on, nigga. Like, you can't be, your name is, like, you have a good name. Live up to your fucking name, nigga.
Yeah.
Bumblebee is like the Kenny of the Transformers. Like, the nigga always getting killed every fucking film and then find his way back some way, somehow. But back to Optimus Prime, it's like he complains so much. He's like, all right, well, I did get fucked up, but we still gonna make it through. I don't fuck with that.
No. I don't understand why them niggas keep getting trapped on Earth. Why every time opportunity come up, it keep getting fucked up for y'all at this point? What's going on where y'all niggas can't get back home?
I don't know. It's so crazy. I'm not a big Transformers person. Mm-hmm. Never was. I just like the action, the explosions that come with it. This film has probably revived the whole maybe franchise for real because they've been doing shitty after Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah, I was still in my moment where, or my phase of not liking change, and you can't go from having Shia LaBeouf for three fucking movies and then you introduce Mark Wahlberg, racist ass.
I still have yet to see that.
I have never seen that movie. I'm not playing. And I don't want to see the shit with Hailee Steinfeld. Stop putting her in every fucking thing.
Who are these people?
She's annoying. She's not even a... She's the girl that played up under Hawkeye on that Disney show.
She was good. I liked her. I liked her acting.
I feel like they just put her in everything now, and it's like, I'm tired of seeing her. No offense, Hailee. You're not a bad person, but and her acting is subpar at best.
I don't know. Her Hawkeye performance is really good. I was convinced.
I feel like her shit is not... there's no depth or anything. I feel like her acting be like, oh, okay, I'm here. Damn. It's like, oh, it's basic white girl shit. It's not... Nothing like, there's no real depth to it. But I could just be a hater. I mean, a hater.
Yeah, a hater.
I could be a hater, Hailee. I could just be a hater. I'm sorry, but I ain't want to see that shit either.
You were against seeing Transformers for the longest. I really had to, like, push y'all niggas to watch
you
that
didn't.
Shit.
You didn't. You literally.
Yes, I literally.
It wasn't.
I've been. No. Everybody's been telling me about it. And I'm like, yo, we got to go see this fucking movie because I want to see it in theaters. Not like how we see it at the house because it's not going to have the same effect.
So, listen, I wasn't going to spend my own money on it. Once he said, oh, I'm spending money, I'll pay for the tickets. I said, okay, let's go. It wasn't no fight. It wasn't no, oh, I can't go. I can't do this. As soon as you said you was paying for the tickets, I said, fuck it, let's go. It's a free movie on you.
And you know what's so fucked up? I was cleaning my room. This is why you should clean your room, ladies and gentlemen. I found that other fucking ticket, really? That other free ticket. That would have came in so clutch for that fucking day. But this is for another rainy day. But overall, the movie was great.
It was all right.
It was great.
It was all right.
It was for what we've gotten.
It was a good movie. It was not a great movie. It was a good movie. It was good.
It was a great movie.
It was good.
It was a great movie. It was a good movie. What made it not great?
I wouldn't say what made it great. That's my question. What made the movie great? Because it wasn't. I wouldn't even say it's better than the first ones.
The soundtrack was very matchable. I liked how everything flowed together.
Okay, what about the movie though?
The movie, and that's a part of the movie though.
That's the soundtrack. That's a small part. I'm talking about the actual movie. When you have to watch the movie, what stood out to you that was like, ooh, this is good?
I liked how it wasn't the same romance story that like how Shia LaBeouf and Megan Fox had.
Megan Good.
So it was like, it wasn't the same romance, and it was like, all right, it wasn't like they was forcing it on you. I think this was good. Like it was great for what we've gotten. Like if you giving me, let's say, what is something that's like I get every fucking day? If you're giving me like Canes has a standard thing and they're not gonna change it. This was like, oh, Canes with Cajun seasoning on top of that bitch. That's what it was. It was the same thing, but it made it a little better. Yes.
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
King's Occasion season. Okay.
Yes.
Did you want to talk about Don't Cry For Me?
I did, but you're going to be mad at me, though.
Well, you ain't finish it?
I got like 2 hours left. I was really trying to finish it at work. Like, I was trying to, like, everybody was like, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? Like, I was like, nothing. I just really want to finish this book. Like, that's all I want to do. But then I think I was like, my mood, since I was like serious trying to get it done, everybody was like, even making me more annoyed because it's like, oh, you're kind of dampering the mood. But I'm like, I'm just chilling.
I don't know why people don't be understanding that sometimes. Like, I go through that a lot. Like, I listen to the book. I look like at work. I listen to books. I watch shows. I'm listening to music. I got the free time to do that and the space to do that at work. And sometimes it gets annoying when somebody walks in and it's like, if I'm listening to a book, I just feel like, don't talk to me. You hear it going. You hear something playing. All you got to do. What are you doing?
Who, me?
Yeah.
I'm looking for my phone. I was just looking for my phone. But listen, go ahead. Finish what you were saying.
You doing? Like, I'm listening to a book. If I'm listening to a book, why the fuck don't come in and start talking to me? Like, or at least, like, and people will hear it going, and I try to be short with people because I'm not trying to be rude, so I'll be short with people and just be like, oh, well, yeah, I'm listening to a book. Or they'll, like, ask questions.
I know. It was in my pocket, y'all. My fault.
They'll ask questions and shit. And I'm like, bro, I'm listening to a book right now, or I'm watching a show. You see the show. Oh, what you watching? A movie. I'm watching this. Oh, okay. well, what about this? What's going on? How are you doing? I don't give a fuck to talk right now. You know I don't give a fuck to talk. Why are you bothering me? Mm-hmm. I feel like people need more social awareness. Like, you know, I don't know, like,
I can't be me 24/7.
Yeah.
I literally, like, I know everybody wants the personality to come up and be like this, X, Y, and Z. But sometimes, nigga, I want to chill.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want to relax. Like, sometimes I'll go mute. Sometimes, and I told my coworkers that. I said, some days I might be, like, on a high. Some days I might just be like, all right, everybody get the fuck away from me right now. Like, that's it. It's just normal human interaction type shit like that.
But don't, I feel like don't demand 100% for me every day.
Yeah.
I don't like that. I don't.
For your benefit.
Yeah. It's, and that's what it is. Because sometimes it feels like it's not even for this. It's just specifically for your benefit. This isn't us having a conversation, us going through whatever we about to go through isn't for anything.
Mm-hmm.
If you bored, motherfucker, do what I'm doing. Watch something.
Yeah.
Pull something up on your phone. Go look at it and be like, oh, okay. Entertain yourself. Read a book. Listen to something. But to, I don't know, to, it be times like, if I walk into a room and I see that you focus on something, I'm going to say something real quick, leave it at that, and then I'm gone. Once I notice that you are doing whatever you're doing, I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't trying to bother you. And then one thing, I feel like I'm young. Everybody at my job is a lot older than me. So sometimes I feel like I'm teaching you shit. I shouldn't be teaching you shit.
Oh, we're not about to talk about this guy on this motherfucker.
No, not. Why the fuck
not? I don't know.
No, I mean, in general, I'm teaching grown ass people how to like interact. Like,
yeah, that's true.
You ain't got to ask me 20 fucking questions.
But you know why that it goes into the book a little bit, though. It's just like, how a person stuck in their fucking ways. From what I've read, it's like literally a person was stuck in their fucking ways. And as I'm going listening to the shit, and I'm like, yo, you are the fucking problem. Like, you don't see that you're the problem to the wife.
He didn't at the time.
But that's what I'm saying.
And he's also saying it while he's writing it, though, and reflecting. He's saying, damn, I was the problem.
I ain't hear it. Like, he ain't say, like, he was saying, like, nigga, maybe I was like this. But
no, it was times, you need to listen to the fucking book.
I'm listening to the book.
There are specific times where he say, this is where I was wrong. He said, looking back, I was dead wrong at this point. There was no reason for me to do this. I was wrong. Or I did this, and even though I did this, I shouldn't be, because you got to the point, right?
Where I got to the point where he's cheating on his wife, and I got to the point where the Annie thing, where the little boy was wearing an Annie wig for the play, and then I got to the point where she had the abortions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I'm 50% there. I'm almost there. I'm almost done.
You almost.
I'm almost done.
Cause them last 2 hours is enough right there. Like them last two in the book. So the book is called "Don't Cry for Me," and the motherfucking book is a gaslighter. Cause like every chapter is a heavy ass chapter, and like I don't know if I just feel like if you've experienced certain stuff and like went through certain things, it's easy to relate. Like even just the relationship that he has with his father, or the relationship that he has with his son, and he's explaining like this is the way I think, and this is just how I was raised, and it's not me trying to be an asshole, but I'm just trying to help you and prepare you for the world. And to see that interaction between them, and then to know like the father thinks what he's doing is right, and he's thinking I'm just helping you and I'm getting you ready and shit. And the kid is like, nigga, it's not how you grew up.
Yeah.
It's different now. Even though it wasn't, because that, like, while we're reading and listening to it, things are taking place, I want to say, in the 70s?
60s.
In the 60s.
It's 60s, 70s.
Yeah.
It's like,
but when does the little boy start growing up? In the 80s?
70s. I feel like he grows up in the 70s and into the 80s, I think. Yeah.
And so, like, listening to it, you hear a lot of stuff in it, and so like what it is, the son is gay.
I think he is. Yeah.
So yeah, the son is gay, and like the father is basically just talking about the relationship that him and his son had, and he starts by describing or just starting about his relationship with his brother, with his grandfather and grandmother, and then builds it up to the point of this is how I met your mother, this is how when we had you, this is what we was going through, mm-hmm. all the way up until this the current moment where he's at right now, mm-hmm. In life and shit. And
oh, go ahead.
My bad. Go ahead.
What I would say to it is like, a piece of it was just more so like, don't, I know like life happens and responsibility happens, like as far as the woman aspect, like the mom aspect, like don't let that be the determining factor sometimes on why you couldn't do something. Cause mm-hmm. that was like her biggest thing. Like she couldn't go to school because of him and this and that. And she had resentment and then she started doing all this extra shit. Mm-hmm. But that's what I'm saying. Like, don't let a man really dictate or something let you get in the way of what you really want at the mm-hmm. end of the day. Cause in all hindsight, she really just wanted an education.
She did. She just wanted to become smarter. And that was the thing. And like for him, he didn't understand that. He was struggling with that. He was like, it's not that you're trying to become smarter. It's that you're trying to not become better than me, but you're, I don't know. I'm giving you everything that I was told that I'm supposed to give you as a man. Mm-hmm. And you still asking for more. And it's like, why are you asking for more? Why aren't you just satisfied with what you have? Instead, you're asking for more. But he comes from a place where whatever you have is what you have, and you should just be okay with it.
Be grateful.
Yeah. And so, like, I don't know, listening to the book, it does help me, like, understand that some people, even older people, the stuck in your ways thing is not really a stuck in your ways. It's more of a, this is the way that I was taught and the way that I went through life. And not just the, I prefer this way, but literally it was either this or die. Mm-hmm. There was no other choice. So yeah, now at 30, and you know it's Pride Month and everything. So now, you know it's
a great book to read.
It was. It's 2023 now, and like we see things. People are openly gay. People are openly transsexual. People are openly whatever they want to be, and it's like it's not as heavy anymore as it used to be 5 years ago, 5-10 years ago. But imagine that 40-50 years ago, and like. I understand where he's coming from as the father. Mm-hmm. And I don't understand it in like, what you did was okay, but I understand it in a way of like, I understand you're trying to protect him. Even yeah. though you're hurting him, it's coming from a place of, I'm trying to protect you and help you in the world. But again, it's hard to do that when you're adjusted to, we growing up in two different worlds. Mm-hmm. It's two different worlds that y'all are growing up in, whereas the father is growing up in a world that was a little bit more restrictive and everything. And then, like he said, I'm learning and I'm seeing that through my son, the world is a little bit different for him than it is for me. He has opportunities and stuff I'll never have or I never had growing up. Mm-hmm. His son got to go to college, got to get a degree and everything. And, like, he was great, and he was the first one to, in a family, to go off and get a degree from the mother's side and the father's side. So, like, that was crazy. Nick, I was about to spoil some shit.
Listen. But what I would say is this. I think to go back on what you were saying, like, what he stuck, like, how he was raised, I think a lot of the times why, you know, sometimes black people can't accept people in the LGBTQ community, plus
LGBTQ community.
It's a lot of fucking words, it is. Bro.
It's a lot of letters.
Excuse me. But I feel like, because we always had the camouflage, and mm-hmm. I feel like that's what it was. It was just like, you're sticking out. Even with the anyway yep. thing, he was like, you're sticking out too much, and I need you not to be, mm-hmm. especially in these eras. Like, I can't allow you. I know I'm like this to you, but I just need you to camouflage. Like, we
and
gotta.
I just peeped that it was any. But I thought he was playing something else. Mm-mm, he was playing any.
Yeah, that was kind of OD, though.
Are you sure he was playing any?
Because mm-hmm, he said you came out with a bright orange wig and started, and then they was making embarrassment, like a fool of you, mm-hmm. to put you in that. Now, I understand that
I did,
part.
And I fully understand. Said that too. A lot of times, especially within history, racism works in weird ass ways. Again, we respect everybody in the LGBTQ community, but there was a lot of buck breaking and shit happening mm-hmm. way in slavery and up until now. And a lot of times, what that consisted of is de-emasculating the black man and making him look foolish and like less of a man in front of other people, in front of his own community and peers, and people wouldn't respect that. So like in slavery times, men would get raped just as well as women, and they would get raped in front of people as a way to embarrass you, as a way to like make you look at look like less of a man. Within movies and shit, like we saw Big Mama House, Madea and shit. We saw all them things coming up, and like we saw men dressing up as women and shit. And again, it's 2023. Things have changed, obviously. But for us coming up in that time, it was like a man shouldn't be in a dress. Mm-hmm. A man, and not in the way of like trying to be homophobic, but just you're taking away. First off, we don't even have too many roles in the shit, right? On TV. So like for some of them roles to be men portrayed as like women was like a punch to our community at one point, and not in a homophobic way. And sometimes, not to say not in a homophobic way, because I do think that things are tied to homophobia, but I think that homophobia and racism are like a little hand in hand a little bit, and racism caused for our community to be a little bit more homophobic than I think we would have been if shit did not happen. It's that Kennan event. Mm-hmm. If certain shit wasn't going on, I think that black people as a whole, we would be more open and to accepting people of all different sexualities if we weren't so restricted ourselves at one point. And then, like you said, having the camouflage and everything, and now you got my son out here on the stage dressed up as a girl, singing and shit, as this little girl, as this, at one point in time, a little white girl. Now you got my son portraying him. He's the only black kid down there here at this school, and now y'all embarrassing him in front of everybody. He doesn't know he's getting embarrassed because he got a role that he wanted. He got something. And that's the thing, too. As a kid, you should have that freedom, and that's what they talked about in the book as well. You should have that freedom to be able to do those things and to be able to live like that with no judgment, no worry. A kid should have that kind of freedom. But for the parents watching, it's like, this is, they're attacking us down there. I'm watching them kind of try to destroy you in front of me, and I don't want that for you.
Yeah, I think even with that, like, that part, like, the book was just, like, sometimes I was looking at it, like, with the pronoun shit, all right? Mm-hmm. Like, the they, them, the all that stuff. And I think I was becoming an old man in that. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't understand that shit. Like, why this happened? And, am I a millennial? I don't know what I am.
I don't know what we are.
I don't know what I am. But, But going back to it, mm-hmm. I was saying more so, like, it just gave you a perspective of, like, how do I want to word it? Like, it's just not to be in that mind frame, mm-hmm. no more. Like, just to be like, you know what? That's just the way of the world right now, and that's just how we just gotta go. Now, some mm-hmm. things I'm not gonna lie. Some things I was agreeing with the nigga on.
Mm-hmm.
A lot like of what? Just the responsibility part. Like, no, actually, no, it wasn't. Not that the re and shit. And I think that is so fucking pivotal right now. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like niggas really need to pick up a book again.
Yeah.
Like, for real, bro. Like, even with people with podcasts, mm-hmm. anything that you got to speak about, like, that's what I thought. I was like, bro, I need to read more because you get so much mm-hmm. more out of it. And some nigga was like, y'all niggas are dumb. Yeah. Y'all niggas are fucking stupid. I'm not going to keep talking.
And within the book?
Yeah.
Because the dude, it's his coworker within the book. He's trying to explain to them, like, he's talking to them saying, educate yourself, bro. Pick up a book and read more instead of just listening to the shit that's on the radio and the shit that you see on the news right now. Pick up a book and read, and read from, like read from our people, like mm-hmm. Malcolm X and this and that. And they, like, reading over the Malcolm X book. And he telling them, like, yo, Malcolm wasn't for everything that you thought he was for. He was doing this and he was doing that, but Malcolm is still this kind of person. And he told him, like, go read the fucking book. And it took him, and then dude had to read The Color Purple until he, did you get to that?
I don't care, but I'm still going to listen to it. I'm not one of them guys.
Okay, so it was The Color Purple. And At one point, I watched The Color Purple as a kid. And then, like, when I became a teenager, I heard something that made me look at it a little bit differently. Just the fact that the author, I think her husband is a white man. And then it's like, you portrayed these black men the way that you did. And so, like, for me, for a few years, I had carried, like, not, what's that one shit called? A little prejudice against The Color Purple. Mm. Like, I was like, I'm just not going to watch that shit.
Never seen it.
Really?
Never.
You are sleeping. But as someone who's seen the shit 40,000 times already, like, reading in that part of the book, he picks up The Color Purple and he begins to read. And of course, from the book, he's reading from Silly's perspective. And even when you watch the movie, well, you don't know who Silly is.
I know key people, but I just never watched the film.
So you're reading it and you're, where am I? For him, he's picking up the book and he's reading from her perspective. And I think that's why books are so powerful, because they do place you in a different mindset. They place you in somebody else's shoes. They place you in somebody else's world, and you can understand a little bit more of them. And through that, he was able to finally understand, like, some of the shit like women go through, like what his wife was talking about the whole time, and like just how having certain issues within our community with black men and black women and certain things, like women not feeling like they were they had enough voice within our community, women not feeling like they had enough power and everything, women feeling like they didn't have enough respect, which should be key within our community, right? Mm-hmm. So it was that, and he was like, he got to a point where he was reading it and he broke down crying reading it, because he just understood where his wife was coming from the whole time. He finally got to a point where he could understand where his wife was coming from. And he walked in one day, and his he showed it to her. He was like, "Yo," like he was like, "That's the color purple." He's like, "I'm reading that right now." She like, "Nick, you reading?"
Oh yeah,
because he wasn't reading.
He was the son and the mom read. That was the only two people that read in the house.
And so I don't know, bro. Take yourself out of ignorance. If you don't know something, if you don't know something about a group of people, a community, whatever, take yourself out of ignorance and read. Get to learn about people. Pick up some shit, bro. Just start picking shit up and reading. That's what I've been doing a lot. And reading, I feel like reading and listening to shit has changed the way I look at the world in certain perspectives. Mm-hmm. The book, it helps. Yeah, it helps.
It helps for right now, bro.
Self-healing when you read these books as well. Like, Don't Cry For Me was a good book. It was like, shit, like...
We about to start y'all niggas on the book club. We about to have an Awkward Thinking book club.
Literally, because, like, it's the part where, like, I never played with toys and shit. Like, we didn't have fucking dolls and shit, but there's a part where... He's playing with the Barbie, right?
That's or
he's
sad
playing.
With me.
He's playing with the doll, and he goes to kiss the doll to make the doll feel better. And his father just happened to be there at that time. And I just feel like I feel like there's shit that we've done as kids that was sus, mm-hmm. and a person just happened to be walking in at the wrong time. And it's like to that's embarrassing. And it's like to have somebody look at you and then you see like disappointment in their eyes, or like with him in that situation, it wasn't just disappointment. You don't do that. You don't kiss a this and that.
Yeah.
And he broke the thing. And that's very traumatic for that kid. Like I know, like he said, I know this is a moment that stuck with you forever. And so like there are moments where, again, because of the shit that I went through as a kid, I look back and I can see those pinpoints. I can pinpoint those memories and be like, I remember when this happened. I remember when that happened. I remember how I felt in this moment and shit. And so, like, listening to that and just listening to him kind of apologize for it kind of helped. It was like, it's a little healing there. Because now I understand, or at least feel some kind of understanding towards older people in them certain regards. Because I feel like as black men growing up, you get policed so much. It's always... you have to act and be a certain way, and if you're not that certain way, you get looked at as a other. And being looked at as a other, especially within your own community, around your own people, makes you feel like you don't want to be alive. It makes you not want to be here, because it's like, I don't even fit in with my own people because I'm a other, and I'm a other only because I don't like the things that they like, or I don't like all the things that they like. And so, like, that, I don't know, that just... It was a lot of healing that book, right there.
Like, it was key moments like that doll shit, because it sat with me because I had a moment like that as a child. My god sister, we was at my godfather's house. So my god sister had My Little Ponies and something like that.
Mm-hmm.
To me, I like the color. It was a bright pink. It had blonde hair. I ain't never see it. I'm examining it. Mm-hmm. And I brushed the hair and stuff like that. My godfather comes in and said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm just playing with this." Takes me. Makes a whole big scene with my mother. And then I'm like,
it's a fucking toy.
Yeah, it's like a toy. Like, nigga, I was curious. Nigga, I just wanted to see this shit. So that sat with me. What else sat with me? The moment of him crying.
Mm-hmm.
And with Roots. Like, he was like, you know, like, I cried, and, you know, you may have cried, and you was just more in tune, and maybe I was just, like, basically jealous of that you could feel.
Yeah, and then he was like, when he cried when, what you call it, gave up his name, right? And he was like, I just felt that for you. Like, I seen that within you. I feel like he related in that moment, and, like, he, that shit was powerful.
Man, should like, this book was that nigga. Y'all, Nick,
and then there's a part, did you get there when they go back home and to the graves and shit?
To see, like, where he grew up and stuff? Yeah,
So, like, the dad takes his son down to his hometown. Mind you, like, the way that the dad grew up, he grew up, they grew up using their hands. They built shit, they went out and farmed and shit, and then they came back in the house. So that was, like, an all-day thing. Then he moved to the city and shit, where things were different. Again, now you out of your own surroundings, you somewhere else, and you trying to adapt to this whole new world while your son is being born in it. And there's no need for adaption for him because he's been born into this world. Whereas you, you grew up differently. So now you got to come in and you got to understand how shit works. And so that's a little journey for you. But he takes his son back home. And, like, they go on a little road trip. It was a great road trip, too. And, like, they go visit the house. Then he goes to show him, like, skipping, you know,
rocks and shit.
Yeah, they skipping rocks together and shit. Then they go. He goes to show him, like, the gravestones and stuff, like, where his brother was buried, where his grandmother and grandfather are now buried. And, like, it's other stuff, too. I'm not going to reveal that. But, or do you know that already?
I've I probably didn't get to that part.
Further than that. So, like, the his son gets there, and his son is, like, very spiritual and stuff. And mind you, his son is, like, still 14, 15 at that time. But his son is, like, talking. Like, he's talking to the, like, just out. Like, just talking to the land. And he's, like somebody's having a conversation with him, and he's turning around. And he's, like, basically talking to his father and telling his father, like, well, yeah, grandma's okay. Like, great grandma's okay. She's happy that, like, you brought us down here. Or you brought me down here. She's happy, this and that. He's like, okay, I've kind of feel your brother, this and that. Or, like, and your granddaddy, this and that. And, like, he's talking to him. And, like, the father gets to feel through his son, I feel like, in that moment. And, like, they connect. And he's like, I see that you have something, like, I don't know, like, you have something in you, and, like, he appreciates that. And then he goes on to, like, paint a mural of what he saw. That's dope. And, like, the father was just, like, speechless watching, like, when he went to his art show.
Yeah, I think what a lot of, and this is my last point to it, before we get up out of here, it was another thing, like, not every nigga is going to like sports. Like, not everybody is going to like that shit. And I think I still deal with that shit to this day. Like, people are like, oh, you don't watch sports? I occasionally watch. I know some, but I don't. That's not my end all to be all. I don't care for it. I'm a type of nigga, I want to see water. I want to see paintings. I want to see all this different artsy shit. You know what I mean? And it was just like, I don't know. It just gave a just like, not, and the mom was so understanding, like,
yeah,
not every man is gonna like this. Not everything. I mean, she probably knew what was up with the son.
No, you ain't get to that point yet.
Yeah, I ain't get to that point. See, I'm ignorant. I'm 2 hours ignorant. But yeah, that was my only point to it. Like, you know, it's a change. I don't know. My last point. I really do want to say this part. You're never. We're not going to probably see, we're the change.
Yeah.
That's what I want to say to it. We're the change. Like, all this, like, with the pronouns and what we're seeing now, that is the change. Do we expect our parents to understand? No. Because that's not for them. They changed for what they needed. It's whatever they was set here to do, we got that little bit of change. What we thought was ignorant and what we couldn't understand, now is our time to change, and it goes like that. We will probably never see that in our lifetime, that because it's, you know, when stuff is in your face, you will never fully see it until you're, like, gone for a while. You know what I mean? But I feel like that's what is intentions on being, for to break curses and stuff like that.
I've always hated not being like a, let me rephrase that. I've always hated the expectations that people put on me by being a bigger person, because me being big, everybody expected me to always play football. And that was like the first thing people approach whenever they talk to me. Before even, hey, whatever, it was always football, football, football. And that shit, it got annoying. It got annoying real fast. And it was like, I feel like people stopped valuing me as a person and just looked at me as like, oh, you're supposed to be a football player. And then to hear somebody turn around, I don't know what the fuck be wrong with people, but don't, well, you just big for nothing. Bitch, I'm not being, this isn't, like, it's not a factory. Well, it is a factory, low-key, but it's not, like, just because I'm a big person doesn't mean that that's all that I can amount to. It's so much more out here than just being able to use your fucking body for whatever. I have talents. I have a whole lot of other talents that I've been able to hone and everything other motherfuckers can't do because they did other shit. And that's not a bad thing, but, like, stop putting shit on people and then putting people in boxes.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing, like, a motherfucker tall, now all of a sudden they got to play basketball. If they don't play basketball, they tall for nothing. And it's like, bitch, I didn't ask to be tall. I didn't ask to be big. I'm just here. I'm chilling. And that's it. But all this, oh, shit, it's 8:30.
Yeah, we was, that book done set us
shit, 20, I did not 30 see minutes. That. Yeah. But yeah, I never liked that. People don't like that shit. Stop approaching people on that. The book was a very, very great book. I definitely recommend
Awkward
go
book
reading that. Again, it's called Don't Cry For Me. Let me give you the author's name. By Daniel Black. Great story. Great, great, great story.
Thank especially you to my coworker for giving me that. You did not give me that recommendation. I didn't. My coworker gave me that recommendation. But go ahead. Finish what you were saying, though.
Your next book, I would say Punch Me Up to the Gods.
Punch Me Up to the Gods. You want to know what my for real fast what my next book is? It's not a memoir, but something like that. Where's Libby? So we can get the fuck.
Yes, make
here.
Sure you using the Libby app as well. You can sign up with any local library that you're around. You can get access to a bunch of free audiobooks and free books. If you like to be on the go, if you look at us plugging them.
Right.
If
you not a fucking sponsor, but
literally.
I mean,
but if you like to be on the go and you like to listen to shit while you on the go, I listen to, like, I'll pull the app up and press play on a story or shit or some shit when I'm on the road, when I'm at work, when I'm at home. Whatever I'm doing, and it's a great way you can multitask with this shit. You can listen to a book, clean up. You can listen to a book, work out. You can listen to a book and paint. You can listen to a book and cook. You can do so much by just listening. And like, this is like, you know how we be plugged in on our phones too much? This is one of them things that I feel like isn't a bad thing to be plugged into, because you're learning. There's knowledge in here, nigga. Find that shit and plug up. For real. If y'all got any book recommendations, please let us know. We open to damn near anything. I definitely want books that are going to be about change, books that's going to help me grow as a person and shit.
Perspective.
Yeah, I definitely like perspective. I don't like too many trauma stories.
Fantasy. But if it's
one thing I say, this is not, like, don't get me wrong, there's not no happy ending in this, or there is a happy ending, but it's not like a happy, happy ending the way, like, we always expect it to be. And I think being able to read these books and see these people go through the shit that they go through and then get to the end and be like, I'm here. It was not like the funnest journey, but nigga, I'm here and I'm still surviving. Not even just surviving, but I'm alive. I'm here. I've been able to deal with accepting change a whole lot better by reading these books and shit.
It's more, mine's next one is like a politic book, like the Communist Manifesto and other writings. Mm-hmm. That's that. And then I'm also like another, like, not a self-help, but kind of like a self-help, The Perfectionist Guide to Losing Control. So I'm about to tap into that, those two. The first one because it's shorter, but the second one because it's like 10 hours.
Trying to find like some shit that I've read that was just like really, really great.
But yeah, if y'all listen, smash that motherfucking like button, or tell us if we should start a fucking book club, because I would love that. Like, I would love that to be our thing on Awkward Thinking. Like,
that would be fun.
A nice fucking, like, I don't know what we'll call it yet. Y'all figure it the fuck out. But
you know what was a great ass, especially for black men out there. The Awkward Black Man by Walter Mosley.
I've heard about that.
I talked about it last time on the podcast. great ass book, a bunch of different stories about black men who are awkward in different ways and going through life. And like all of them, for the most part, have a good ending for that black man. And it's not like, it's like nonfiction stories and shit or fictional stories, and shit. But it's, that's a, that was a great book. I like that book. That was a book that lifted my spirits. Again, it's great to read and take yourself out of the mindset of what's in front of you and to just see, especially as a black man, to be able to see other black men in positive ways and being put down on a piece of paper in a positive way is really great.
Yeah, I agree. And I, my last point is to this. I think it would, a lot, even with reading, like I said, the podcast and then stuff like that, I think that everybody needs to take away. I think with all these comedic, everybody wants to be comedic and tell these crazy ass stories. And, you mm-hmm. know, we've told crazy ass stories and stuff like that. But sometimes learn. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, we back in the business of like, yeah, we can still give you all that raw, raunchy shit sometimes. You know what I mean? But we also want y'all to take away something. You know what Definitely. I mean? To be like, the friends you never knew you needed for real, and really just take away from what we just talked about or you didn't agree with, talk to us about it and how you didn't agree with it. That's what we here for, man. So I'm gonna hit this button so we can get up the fuck up out of here. It's about that time where we leave you with a positive message to get through the end of the week. Is that?
I don't know.
I've said this multiple fucking times.
Yeah, to get through the week.
To get through the week. Not the end of the week. To get through the week. But go ahead.
Ooh, you know what else we should have talked about while we had the time was that Dr. Umar thing.
Dr. Umar.
You've been missing shit because you ain't on Twitter. But Dr. Umar said something about men, like especially men who are older, not more established, but just men who are older, start taking up positions within our communities as leadership positions, as far as volunteering at schools, volunteering at the YMCA, volunteering at different programs that are where you're going to see little versions of yourself so they can see a bigger version of themselves and see like there are actually grown men who are coming in and trying to mentor us and help us. I love the idea that I think some of y'all missed a lot of shit that he was talking about and y'all jumped over conclusions and shit. But yeah, I do think that was a great thing. So if you are a black man or a black woman, go out and volunteer. Go let somebody who looks like you see you do your thing.
I ain't gonna lie. Sometimes Dr. Umar do go off.
He do
go off the deep end some fucking time. So I will give, I, you know what I mean? But what was my positive message to get through the week? As I always do, my positive message to get through the week, I've been having this MF Doom complex to me as of lately. And I've been trying to figure out, like, you know, because people, well, if you don't know who MF Doom is, basically he was a person, he was a rapper, and he had this mask, and people really didn't know his face. He just made art, he made music and stuff like that. But the reason why he resonated with that character Doom so much is because Doom was kind of like an anti-hero, like in certain aspects and stuff like that. And I just want to say, like, to all that, to what I just said and all that, like, just really stay toward the path. Like, really, like, you're going to get a lot of people that's going to stab you in the back.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get a lot of people that take your shine. You're going to get a lot of people that take your credit. You're going to get a lot of people that do half the shit that you do. And you know something my mom told me? She was like, let them take it. Like, literally, let them take it. Not like that. But you know what I mean?
Say.
Because when somebody's inspired by you, that should be the greatest gift. Literally should be the greatest fucking gift. And don't hold it like you're just doing something right. Like, mm-hmm. you're just doing something right. That should be a one-up. Like, I'm inspiring people. Like, legit. Like,
yep.
You know what I mean? Now, sometimes niggas do take your shit, and niggas will fuck you over. But, yeah, just be inspired and take it with a grain of salt. Keep on your path. That's all I got. I don't got too deep this time. But thank you. I'm Nas. Shit, what the fuck? I'm Nas.
I'm Vince. Thank you for watching Awkward Thinking. Make sure you tune in. Like and share. Make sure you share this everywhere that podcasts can be shared or whatever. If y'all was fucking with the episode, let us know. Again, we need some book recommendations. So, and this is a clip for you, so you can clip this.
I am. I'm going
to
clip
it. We need book recommendations. So we trying to start up a little book club with the Aukies. Let us know what y'all want to read. We can read and discuss it. We'll talk about it on the podcast, and then we'll talk about it with y'all.
Yeah, that's nice. I'm listening. I love y'all, man. Thank you for being awkward with us. See you next week.